Good evening, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Young Israel Pasei Clifton, continuing our Daf HaShavua series. Tonight's Daf is Meseches Moed Katan Daf Gimel, and it focuses on what a little drasha can teach us about the laws of Shemitah. Now, very often we have many different types of Gemaras. Some of the Gemaras involve Nibaya Lahu, a type of question. You have Gemaras that involve Stiras, you have Gemaras that involve contradictions, you have Gemaras that bring all kinds of proofs. And also you have another total genre of Gemaras that deal with drushos, that deal with exegetical interpretations of psukim, and where we learn out those halachos. And I know my experiences in yeshiva over the years, with my own personal learning, is we tend to more gravitate towards the lumdish type Gemaras, and the Gemaras that deal more with drushos and interpreting psukim from halachas, those we kind of gloss over and those we kind of run through a little bit. And, well, I'm not here to give us a mussar, but what I wanted to show tonight is a value of every type of Gemara, especially these type of psukim Gemaras. And I wanted to bring out this idea from a discussion which takes place on Daf Gimel, which eventually leads to a fascinating machlokas between the Minchas Chinuch and the Sefer Chut Hashani, when it comes to understanding the mitzvah of Shemitah and how an implication that's going to come out is that in some senses the mitzvah of Shemitah actually has a greater chumrah than Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara towards around the bottom third of the Daf says, on Daf Amud Aleph says, brings on the following discussion, Ismar HaChorish B'Shvius, it was taught, it was said before, one who plows during Shemitah, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. However, we don't know which chacham to attribute to each, to the particular shita. What we do know is chadam are loke, v'chadam are eno loke. One says you get malkos, and one says you don't get malkos. Now, the reason why they're asking about choresh is because plowing is because when the pasuk delineates the isurim that take place during Shemitah, it said sadcha lo sizra, v'charmecha lo sizmor. It mentions zaria, planting, mentions zemira, which is pruning. It mentions Esafir Ketzir Chalosev Tzor, it mentions Bitzira, and it mentions again Zemira again. It does not mention Harisha. So the Gemara decides, tries to figure out exactly what the Machlokas is based on, and while our Dashir is not going to be discussing the the specific Shaila, it's going to be a byproduct of the original discussion. Now, the Gemara brought down a possibility as to what the Machlokas is based upon. And to do that, we just have to quickly revert back to the very famous Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael, which is said in the Shacharis every single morning at the end of Karbanos. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Shloshes Remidos, Atar Nidreshes Behem. There are 13 exegetical principles which one uses to derive different halachos from the psukim of the Torah. And one of them is Klalu Prado Klal Yetadon Elikein HaPrat. That you have something called a klal uprat uklal. What do those words mean? Klal refers to a pasuk which describes a general case. A prat refers to a pasuk which describes a specific detail. When you have a klal, a general rule, followed by a prat, a specific, Rabbi Yishmael teaches us that the entire general rule only applies to that detail. But it's not going to apply to any other case. However, if you have a second klal, which follows the first prat, you have something called a klal, a prat, a klal, so then the second klal expands the prat to include things that are similar to what's being learned. Now, to make this a little bit clearer, I'm going to give you the example brought down in our Gemara, as explained by Rashi. Shemitah is introduced with a general rule, Shna Shabbason Yela Aretz, it should be a land and a year of rest. Rest doesn't mention any specifics, it just says rest. That would refer it as a klal. Then, the pasuk right after says, Sadcha lo sizra v'charmecha lo sivtzor. You shall not plant your field, you should not prune your vineyard. What the Torah then is doing is mentioning two specific ways that we observe this year of Shabbason. That would be a prat. Following this, prat is another klal of Shnas Shabbason Yel Haaretz. It should be a year of rest, seeming to include everything. So if we're going to be using the general rules of klal uprat uklal, which should come out that this will be the classic example. The klal of shnas shabbason, including all malachas. The prat, which is, tells you it's zaria and bitzira only. And then the following klal, which tells you that, you know what, we'll include things that are similar to bitzira and zaria. And if we ended the Gemara right there, everything would be fine. Except there was one way that this klal uprat uklal, which I explained to you as a classic example, is actually by far, by all means, not classic at all. What do I mean? In general, we apply the rule of klal uprat uklal specifically by los ases or specifically by ases. What you have over here, though, is the klal, the rule, is what we would classify as a mitzvah aseh. It says shabbason. B'shavsa ha'aretz. Shna shabbason yel aretz. Shna shabbason yel aretz. Right. So, so your shna shabbason yel aretz, the shna shabbason yel aretz that you have over here, is a mitzvah aseh. Sorchalo sizra karmacholo sitzor, that's a mitzvah lo saseh. The prat afterwards comes out to be, comes out to be an aseh. So there happens to be a shayla brought down by Rabbi Avinu Rabbi Eli, which says, do we actually, could we use the principle of klal uprat uklal in such a case where the klal is of the aseh variety and the prat is of the lo saseh variety? So the Gemara initially wanted to say that this was the discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara eventually says that it's not the discussion at all. All agree that such a klal uprat uklal is viable. And there's a technicality as to why the man the Amr who would say you don't get Malkos doesn't get Malkos by Harisha, because he'll end up saying that the fact that the Torah delineated several pratim as opposed to just one, that's a proof that we're not dealing with your classical klal uprat uklal, but we're dealing with a specific type of limud. Putting that all aside, we end up the following, that Shemitah consists of certain Isurim, and Shemitah also consists of certain Aseis. And there happens to be a very, very big nafkamina as to whether something is brought down as the Aseh, or something is brought down as the Los Aseh. And the Minchas Chinuch is going to base it on a Rashi in Avodah Zarah. The Rashi in Avodah Zarah tells us that a comment he makes on the Gemara, which says, "Adam mitzuveh l'shvisa sadehu b'shvias," that a person is commanded on the resting of his field. Rashi says that comes from the pasuk of Shnas Shabbason Yel Aretz, telling us that there is a mitzvah of shvisas karka, that not only do you have to abstain from land, from working the land, but your land also has to be abstained from during Shemitah. Now, keeping this in mind, what exactly does this mean? So that according to the Minchas Chinuch, the way that the Minchas Chinuch is understanding that limud in Rav Rashi, what the Minchas Chinuch is saying, that we really have two different Isurim going on by Shemitah. There's the first, the Isur of actually working the land. And second, there's almost like your land becomes an Isur Chefza. It's a classical brisker terminology. There's the Isur Gavra of working the land. And there's the Chefza of your land being worked on. Now, that's a beautiful, nice, lumdisha, theoretical type of thing. But what exactly does that mean in real world? So the truth of the matter is, saying that there's an Isser of Shvisas Karka, or there's an Isser Aseh, really, of Shvisas Karka on Shemitah, will show you that, first of all, it will show you a point that Shemitah is actually more chomer than Shabbos in this sense. Because let's think about it for a second. Let's say we're talking about doing the same type of malacha. Type of malacha that we're talking about is taking a hoe and plowing the land. So, what happens? Let's say it's on Shabbos and I give a guy my hoe and he's going to use my hoe to use his land. So, already mentioned in Misecha Shabbos and the Mishnayos in the first parak that we hold that there is no concept of Shvisas Kalim. That I am not Mechuyav, that my Kalim, my own personal belongings, also rest on Shabbos. Meaning, if somebody non-Jewish wants to use my things, or even Chas V'Shalom, a Jewish person, wants to use my things on Shabbos, and he uses it for a malacha, I don't get credited, or discredited, maybe you want to say, with doing the malacha. That doesn't happen. Masha'in Kain, by a karka, if somebody works on my karka, then I actually will have a problem, because again, there's an idea that my karka has to rest. A further implication of this, besides showing how Shvisas Kalim is different than Shmitas Karka on Shemitah, and saying you get this actual assay, is the concept of Amira La'akum. We know that by Shabbos, there is an issue of Amira La'akum. Amira La'akum means basically, one isn't allowed to go and tell a guy, or a non-Jew, to do malacha for him. And it's brought down that that happens to be by Shabbos in Issur D'Rabbanon. There are a couple of reasons different to it. We're not going to do an Amira La'akum shir. We're not going to go into the different nafkaminas between the shitas are. But I will tell you that there are three basic reasons as to why we have Amira La'akum. One brought down by the Rambam is we want to make sure that Shabbos is something serious to you. Think about it for a second. You come in and you sit down in your room. Sit down in your dining room. And what happens? Your non-Jewish housekeeper, your non-Jewish cleaning lady, or your non-Jewish Shabbos guy who you're paying for the day comes in, puts on your computer, types in your internet address that you need to, picks up your cell phone, dials your cell phone for you. You're conducting all these business activities. He then goes and cooks your dinner, cooks your lunch, your seudas. Basically, what's going to happen? You can sit the entire day and be engaged in all kinds of non-Shabbistic activities without doing a single malacha. So in order to show that we're really serious about this, we kind of set the bar as to when we allow going to do malacha for us and when we don't allow going to do malacha for us. Now that's a basic reason for the prohibition. The other two other ones are v'daber davar, that your speech should be different on Shabbos than it is during the week. And also the idea of it's almost like a little bit of a shlichus, the guy is acting like a shliach. Again, we're not getting into the lamdasha aspects of these different reasons, but it's very clear that these are an Isra Dirabbanam. However, based on this rule of the Minchas Chinuch, who says that, again, there is an Isra of, or there's a mitzvah saseh, that there's an idea of Shemitas Karka as well. This idea of Shemitas Karka applies that if you would have a Amir La'akum and if you asked a guy to work your field during Shemitah, guess what? We are dealing with an Isra D'Oraisa. So again, let's review this concept, this rule of the, this opinion of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, in quoting, explaining the Rashi in Meseches Avodah Zarah, tells us that this Minchas Chinuch, I'm sorry, in explaining this Rashi in Meseches Avodah Zarah, tells us that there is a concept of Shvisas Karka, which, while it's unlike Shvisas Kalim on Shabbos, he's actually going to compare it to Shvisas Behema, which means that, again, just like your animals can't do malacha and you on Shabbos, and if your animal is used by a non-Jew to do malacha, you have a prohibition. So, too, there's a prohibition that your land is used for work on Shemitah as well. And based on this Minchas Chinuch, the prohibition of Amira La'akum by Shmita would be on a Deoraisa level, making it much stricter than the prohibition of Amira La'akum on Shabbos, which is only on a Derabbanan level. However, Minchas Chinuch takes this mitzvah of Shvisas Karga and equates it to Shvisas Behema. There's another opinion brought down by a sefer known called by the Chud Hashani. I saw it quoted down. And the Chud Hashani writes the following. And the Chud Hashani formulates the Isser of Shvisas Karka on Shmita a little bit differently than the Minchas Chinuch. The wording, Osir mi aladami Yisrael, it's forbidden for a Jewish person, ligrom shebiglalo umachmaso, you can't cause any work to take place on Jewish land. That's what he says. Now, what is the difference between the two? Well, the Minchas Chinuch is using the Isser, using the model of Shvisas Behema, to formulate this mitzvah saseh. Which means that, yes, we view your land as an extension of you in the same way that we view it as an animal on Shabbos, an extension of you as well. So there is, however, if somebody else wants to, what happens with somebody else's land, that's something different. You're responsible for your own land. Mash'en king, the way the Chud Hashani explains it, is that the Isser on everybody, this idea of Shemitah's Karka during Shemitah, is on the totality of all the land in Eretz Yisrael, meaning I am not allowed to facilitate any work happening to any land in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's mine or whether it's somebody else's. Which, again, I'll tell you two different nafkaminas. One nafkamina would be, what if you rent the land? I'm sorry, we're going to give one nafkamina. And what if you sell the land to somebody who is chashed on Shemitah? Okay, so you're selling the land. So now, we know the case when it comes to Shvisas Behema. If I sell my animal to a non-Jew and the animal does work, the famous story of Rabbi Elazar ben Appara, right? The famous story about the cow that kept Shabbos, is the Tana that's referred to in the beginning of Maseches Vachim. So, yeah, in that case, once the guy picks up and is coning my cow, so then there's no isser. He can do whatever he wants with it. Here also, I sell my land to somebody who is chashed al shmita, and he wants to go and do and work it during the land, again, that's not my problem, according to the Minchas Chinuch. It's true, I shouldn't do it. And if I do it, I will get an Isser of Lifnei Iver, which is, yes, a type of Isser, for sure. But I'm not going to be over on the mitzvah of Shvisas Karka during Shemitah. However, the Chud Hashani tells us that no, the Isser is, you may not facilitate any land being worked during Shemitah. It's not just referring to your land, it's referring to the totality of land in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, if I sell my land to someone who's chashud al Shemitah, or somebody who's chashud al Shvias, that's actually the correct terminology, not only am I over on Lifnei Iver, but I'm also going to be over on Vishofsa Arad Shabbos Lashem, Shana Shabbason Yela Aretz, I'm going to be over on that particular issue as well. So to conclude, we see that how important it is to pay attention to these drushos, because this drusha brought us this pasuk of Shana Shabbason Yela Aretz, which you can just gloss through, but it showed us that what? That this isn't just simply a pasuk, but it's telling us a special chiddush about Shemitah, that there is a mitzvah of Shvisas Karka, which the Sefer, the Minchas Chinuch took it, equating it to Shvisas Behema, where the Chud Hashani equated it to an Isser over the entire land. The entire land becomes an Isser Chefza of Shemitah. nafkamina between the two is what happens if you sell the land to somebody who is choshed on Shemitah. Are you over on Shemitah besides Lifnei Iver, or is it just Lifnei Iver? And according to both opinions, the idea that Amira La'akum is going to be Aser min HaTorah, because again, your work, your land, whether it's your land, because it's Aser, because it's Shemitah's Behemah, because it's like equivalent to Shvisa's Behemah, rather because all the land is Aser, it's not going to make much of a difference as far as this is concerned, because if a Goy is working your land, you got a problem. This all comes about through the drushas that we have in the Gemara, something which tells us that we should, again, pay attention to everything in the Gemara, because there are treasures behind every line, and that how we actually find that in certain cases, Shemitah is more chamer than Shabbos. Have a wonderful day.